Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Hi, Mitchie. How are you going?
Good afternoon, Amelia Tamio. How are you?
Why do you do that?
Do what?
You're just annoying me today. Oh. Anyway, hi. Well, have you got a song planned?
I haven't, but that song is stuck in my head.
Stong?
Stong. Now you're annoying me, okay?
That was just. Go on.
You know that song. The kids are just singing it like all the time. But I can never remember the lyrics. In this world.
Oh, yeah. I overheard them singing the other day.
And all he knows all the songs. Like, I sit here and I'm like, how do you know all the lyrics? He just knows literally all the songs.
Oh, well, there you go. That's our song today.
I don't even know what the song is called.
Do you know what the song is?
It's Harry Styles.
It's Harry Styles, is it?
There you go.
God, didn't he make it? My God, going from working in a bakery, I think. Jeez.
Anyway.
Looking rooster, isn't he, old little
He's
Harry,
all right. He's all right.
He's all right.
Yeah,
all right.
He's all right.
Anyway, let's chat. Let's talk.
Yeah, so talking, what are we talking about today? We're talking about criticism today.
Yeah.
Very apt, considering you're annoying me.
Yeah, you just criticised me, dear.
I did.
I promise I will try not to annoy
you.
Yeah,
that, you know what? The problem is that as soon as somebody says that you're annoying, you will just like dive into that and you'll just like press all of the buttons. I think what we need to talk a little bit about is criticism and how people kind of spend a lot of time trying to avoid criticism and trying to avoid being criticized and people not liking them and not liking what they do.
Yeah.
And I think that very importantly, criticism plays an important role in helping you to move to the next level. It's that whole praise and reprimand thing, is that when you – as you – expand in your spheres of influence, as you're making more impact, you're going to have people who are more you're always going to have people that love you, and then you're going to have people that really don't love you.
Yep.
So you're going to have an equal balance of both. And while it's important to recognize both, it's also important not to give too much weight to either, right? Because a lot of people want to give all the weight and the praise, like on the praise, and then they also want to give the weight to the reprimand. Do you know what I mean? And instead of actually going, you know what, both of these mean I'm making a difference and that's okay, you know?
Yeah, I think though that there's, you know, there's constructive criticism and then there's destructive criticism, right? And I think constructive criticism is based around a person opening a dialogue to for themselves to go, okay, this I'm saying this because I actually get that I want to grow. You know, I'm seeing that this is not okay, so that I, not to say that it's not okay and blanketly walk away and draw a line there, but to say, okay, I see that this is not okay, and what I want to do is I want to be able to open a dialogue so that I can grow in that.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
that's so constructive criticism.
Being open, okay.
But destructive criticism is where a person just draws a line in that. They don't have any of the criticism related to themselves. They bounce it off other people. I don't like how you do this over here to other people. Or I don't like how you create a scenario where, you know, a person can feel this way or a person can make that choice or make that decision. That's destructive criticism because there's no ownership in what's actually happening for the person that's saying what, that's criticizing in the way.
Are you talking about the person that's doing the criticizing?
Yeah.
Right. So constructive is what?
Is where you're taking responsibility for what it is you're saying. You're opening a dialogue so that you can actually grow.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I can see.
And destructive is you're just drawing a line and saying, this is all not okay and I'm out.
So well, it's kind of like a blame thing instead of a there's no me in this.
It's a black and white.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So as much as I agree with that, I don't love the constructive and destructive because obviously they're both. They're always both. Do you know what I mean? Like even you're always going to have the construct and the destruct in everything you do.
Well,
but
I think
from the perspective of the person who's doing the criticism, if you're only seeing it that it's somebody else and you're not seeing about your part in it, then you there is you're limiting your growth as a result of that.
Well, constructive criticism says I'm going to construct a new way of me seeing things so I can grow, and I'm going to destruct whatever it is I'm charged with,
yeah,
or whatever it is that's annoying me, so that I can get a better understanding of what is happening. Do you understand?
Yeah, I think so.
If you're just going, you can't have constructive without destructive. I totally agree with you. But where you're walking away from the responsibility of going, okay, I'm going to criticize what I'm seeing here and I'm out, you can't have that, because you're thinking you're only going to criticize it and you're going to walk away from it. The problem is you're going to keep walking into it until you get the lesson.
I agree with that.
And you understand that the only reason you're charged is because it's pointing out certain things inside of you that you're destined to work out.
So if you're criticizing something in somebody else, mm-hmm, right, it's because you're doing it in such a way that you're coining destructive here. Yeah. It's because you haven't owned what you see in them, and so it's easier for you to point it out in them, mm-hmm, and not own it in yourself.
Yeah.
Whereas when it's constructive, you can say, look, this is what I see in you. I understand that this is me too. Let's grow from this together.
You see it?
Yeah.
This is how I see it.
And it opens up a dialogue.
Help me to see how you see it. And I'll help you to see how I see it.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Let's see if we can both grow out of this.
Fair point. Yeah, yeah. So, but I think that's on the part of the person who's doing the criticizing, mm-hmm, right? But on the part of the person who is on the receiving side, mm-hmm, right, the reason that criticism will affect them is because they're also not, mm-hmm, clear. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're being criticized for being controlling, mm-hmm, and you can't own that you're controlling, mm-hmm, then you are going to label it as criticism,
yeah,
as opposed to labeling it as somebody having an opinion about something, whether they, and regardless of. So if I can own that I'm controlling and, mm-hmm, somebody's like criticizing me for being controlling, mm-hmm, right, I don't call it criticism.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it, well, somebody just said that about me. Do you know what I mean? I'm not labeling it criticism. You label it criticism when you're not owning.
You feel powerless and resentful and charged if someone's criticizing you and you don't own what it is they're saying.
Correct.
So you hold the power if you own it.
Yes.
If you own it and go, okay, so what am I being? I'm being this, and go, okay, well, hold on a minute. Let me see where I've done that. Yes, I've done it here. I've done it here. I've done it here. I've done it here. I also know in me doing it in this way, the ramifications for how I've behaved. And I also see that I have a clear intention about why I'm doing what, mm-hmm, I'm doing. It's like when I'm dealing with a client, or when we walk into a room, we're very clear about what it is we want that room to see.
Yeah, I think that...
And we know that to do that, we have to press buttons. And we're clear right from the beginning. Listen, we're going to press some buttons here.
Well, so in terms of owning it, it's... Understanding you have the power when you own it is not about trying to overpower anyone. It's about just trying to it's just about knowing and owning who it is that you are.
Yeah.
And therefore, whatever comes to you is not going to affect you in the positive or in the negative.
Yeah.
And I think that people, because you can be criticized positively as well, right? We normally label it a negative, but people can put you up and say all these plus things about you. But if you take that on board, you're also, their opinion of you weighs more than your opinion on yourself, right? Yeah. So the way that you know that you are clear, or that you're not affected by it, is you really don't label it as criticism. You just accept that other people don't see things the way you see things, and that's okay.
And nobody, at the end of the day,
no one's going to
ever see things the way you see things. And you also have to have compassion for the criticizer, you know, because they're saying it to you because they're trying to have the same power that you have.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're seeing something in you that you can own in yourself, or that that you can own in yourself that they can't.
Yeah, well, how can you do that? How can you say that? How can you be that? Because I really own it in myself, and I know that in me doing this, it's allowed me to be of great service to people. You know, it's allowed me to filter the people out of my life that want assistance, and to filter into my life, or that don't want assistance, and to filter into my life the people that do want help.
So let's just talk about, I think the best way to handle this is to talk about some of the criticism we receive, right? And how we, what we make of it, right? So one of the places that I think we get, as much as we get a lot of love in that place, we also get a lot of criticism, what we would, you know, quotation marks, criticism in that place, is Mastermind of Money. Mm-hmm. And the reason that is because Mastermind of Money is people's first experience of us.
Yeah.
And because of that, or, I mean, I suppose some people have listened to the podcast and other bits and pieces, yeah, right? But a lot of people who've met us for the first time meet us at Mastermind Money. And we're really quite direct in Mastermind of Money. Yeah. I remember one time, probably about maybe towards the end of the last month, one of the Mastermind of Money's last year,
right,
someone came to me afterwards and went, whew, that was a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I was like, really? And it's because we've been doing this for so long, mm-hmm, you don't realize how much stuff we're bringing up as we're talking about stuff in Mastermind of Money. So Mastermind of Money, we really bring out the intention with that, mm-hmm, is to go out there and show people what's holding them back in terms of their finances, yeah, right? Now, we never force people to come along and do any further work with us. Our intention is if people want to do further work, there's there and it's available to them.
Yeah.
And do we want them to? Well, we would love them if they would love to do it. We're not trying to make anybody do anything.
Yeah, and I think, but I think, you know, I think that we're very clear with people in saying that, you know, we are interested in the people that want to move.
Yeah.
And our objective is to give you over and above what you expect when you come in here. And that's what we do.
Yeah. Well, then I think that what happens is that when, in order to see what your blockages are, mm-hmm, it has to show up in your face. Mm-hmm. And the reason, and like, I don't know if people know, but you and I, before we go up on any stage, before we communicate in any way to the public, we set our intention and we set aside certain things that people, we want people to come up and say to us afterwards that help us to know that we've done a good job.
Mm.
We set our intention about if we've got one chance with these people, with anybody, and these people, something's going on for that person needs a little bit of help, then that person is in the right place and they know that they're in the right place. So we set our intention prior to that, and knowing that the people who are ready to go on to do further will do further, and the people who are not, that's also okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not going to hold back. We're not going to avoid going down a certain path, because what that means if we avoid it is that we may miss out on assisting someone that needs assistance, right? So we've had one person I got feedback of said that we were playing on some insecurities.
Mm-hmm.
And my response to that is, yes, we were.
Absolutely.
And the reason that we are is because that insecurity, whatever that is holding you and that it has you insecure in that spot, is holding you back from the place you want to get to. And the only way that we personally, each of us, got to the places we got to is because somebody pointed out our insecurities in order for us to get an opportunity to move through that.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what happened with me is they pointed out my insecurity. They pointed out where that insecurity came from.
Yes.
And then they showed me how it was actually giving me internal security.
Correct, yeah.
Which is what the real meaning of insecure is.
Yeah.
Inside yourself, you find security in who you are.
Yep.
And there are things that have occurred in people's lives that they feel have held them back, are stopping them from getting ahead, and they don't realize, no. Everything that happened in your life was a perfect fucking mosaic that was specifically designed for you to get to the end of your life and look back and know that you did a fucking extraordinary job. And that because as you get older, I'm finding it now as well, as I get older.
You are getting older.
The more, don't annoy me. As I get older, I'm finding that the older I get, the more I'm letting go of the things that just used to niggle me and hold me back. And I'm realizing that all those things that were holding me back were there just to tool me up, to equip me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
to get to a point in life where I'm able to go, fuck, I can rest assured that I did a good job here.
And I think that with the way that we do it, our full intention is that if this is holding you back, there's an opportunity for you to do something with it. Now, if you don't do that with us, we're okay with that. But this here is something that if you don't sort it out, it's going to continuously affect how you go about playing the game of money, particularly a Mastermind of Money, or relationships, or whatever
or
else.
Your self-worth, or your relationship, correct, or how you connect with your children, or how
exactly
you connect, or the lineage. You're responsible. Every human being that is here is fucking responsible for a lineage after they leave here.
Yeah.
So if you are able to empower a person now by pointing out something to give them more security, they're going to make a fucking huge difference in the world. They're going to be able to go, you know, I gave it everything I've got because I conquered my insecurities.
Yep.
And I made them internal. I became secure around the things that I thought were holding me back. So you have to understand, when you're working on yourself, it's not actually self-help. It's fucking everybody help. Do you know what I mean? It's everyone in the future gets assistance because you dealt with something now that severed a lineage of a pattern or a cycle and you did it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, I walk in and I look at an audience and I know I'm looking at a fucking audience and my objective is I'm not helping one person, I'm helping all of them and then everybody, I'm helping their kids,
in
their
mothers, whatever their
fathers, everybody. Yeah. So that's my intention.
Yeah.
And that's your intention 100%. When we step in there.
Now, whatever they take out of it is whatever they take out of it, yeah. Right? But our intention is to say, if you've come here for a reason, then from this is what we see is holding you back. And if you we say it right from the get-go that you didn't come in here to walk out the same person.
Yeah.
If you did, you're in the wrong room, right?
Yeah.
And the other thing is that another thing that we often get, it's actually probably not often.
Let me just cover something on that. Something else that happens at the end of every mastermind of money that we do is that there is an energy in the room that everybody goes, fuck, you know what? We're all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has stuff.
Yeah.
Everybody, we're all in this boat. Yeah. We're all trying to get somewhere. You know, here I was running around trying to hide all the things that were actually there to empower me and enable me and equip me.
And I think that when people are there saying things like, you know, we're asking deep questions, right? You've got people in the room. If you look around the room, people are putting their hands up to get asked those deep questions. Now, some of them are able to hear some of the stuff that's being said and some people aren't. But either way, the things that we're going about our lives trying to avoid, it's like, why are we avoiding these deep questions? Why are we avoiding these personal things? If not going to that place, not going to that deep and personal place is something that you want, then we're not the people for you. And that's okay.
And that's all right.
That's okay. But, like, we're not going to avoid going to that place just because everybody else avoids going to that place.
But I liken it to that fucking dinner scenario, you know, where you turn up and then your dad is the jester, your mum is the victim, your sister's the aggressor, and everybody's playing these roles around the dinner table and nobody's real. Do you know what I mean? There's no depth with people that you're born from their seed. Do you know what I mean? And there's no connection, there's no love. And I think that what asking deep questions does is it draws out of people a depth of magnificence and it's a realization for them that allows them to feel like they are special. You know what I mean? That they are what has happened to them is actually a gift, you know, it's actually a gift. Mm-hmm. What happened to you, no matter what the fuck it is a gift.
Yeah.
And you're not here to spend your life, as I say, all the time fitting in. You're here to stand out.
Yeah.
You're here to be absolutely fucking extraordinary.
And I think that for me, I go to bed at night going, I know that even though some people may not like some of the things I've said, because I can be very pointy in what I say, you know, but I know also that I've got I've got a group of people around me who will deliberately come up to me and ask me for my opinion because I'm pointy. Do you know what I mean? So the fact that some people are not okay with it is not going to change the way that we run things because we're very clear and we own what we bring to the table. We own our intention, right?
I mean, what if everybody fucking liked us?
Exactly. Well, exactly, right? No, we're not here to be liked. Yeah. We're here to live our own truth.
Yeah.
And if that truth is not in alignment with you, that's okay. But the truth from our perspective is that we have to stand up and show up to the best of our ability. And that also means weeding out the people who wouldn't work well with working with us.
And that's okay.
And the people who wouldn't work well working with us are people who really don't want to go deep and personal, who only want to skid around on the surface.
Maybe they do, but they just want a different modality.
Maybe, yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean?
True.
They just want a different method.
Maybe they want it done in a smoother
way. But that's not us. You know, I'm from fucking the rough end of Dublin, you know. I'm sandpaper, man. And yeah. and I call it as it is because my mentors did the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm so grateful. Like, I say it all the time. One of my mentors used to fucking hit me with a ruler. You know, like,
I should take that up with you when I'm annoyed.
Used to beat me with a fucking ruler. And but the truth about it is, she was the best teacher I ever had.
Yeah.
She did whatever the fuck it took. And she said, one day you'll thank me.
Yeah.
It's and like I say with my kids, you know, like, Lexi's at that teenage point now. She says to me all the time, you know, literally she walked past me yesterday and I'd had a big, she'd had a big row at me. I said, good night, Lexi, you going to bed? She looked at me and she went, die and rot in hell. I burst out laughing. Then she had a little giggle as she walked past because she was so annoyed at me. But I know that later in life.
It's a theme.
I know that later in life she'll stop and go, thanks for pushing me, you know, yeah. thanks for putting everything on the line.
And vice versa.
Because
I,
she
mean?
Could spend her life fucking hating me.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
But I know that I do it because I love her.
And you know, can I, just because we probably need to finish up now anyway, but I will also say we've got a lot of people who give us constructive feedback as well and say, you know, the way that you communicated this, if you communicated this way, perhaps maybe more people can 100%. Hear it and stuff like that. Yeah. And I feel like we
and
get
we
a
do
lot
that with
of
each
that.
Other.
We do it with all the time, don't we?
We'll go on a break during a talk and I'll say, listen, we need to go back on and tweak that because we might not have got our point across there so they can see this.
Yeah. So we'll do that all the time. So I think that's important and fair. It's just, I feel like it's just important to know that you know you're making a difference when people are getting annoyed at you because that's that means that you're making some sort of an impact. And even if that means it sends them on a direction towards somebody that they feel is going to help them in a way that we can't, then that's okay, right? But also, I think it really solidifies what we own about what we do and what our intention is. So sometimes the way the intention comes across, we work on and perfect over time. But yeah, like I said, we want to make sure that we're working with the people who are serious about going to a place that we know we can help them to get there and for themselves to get them there too. And in the way that we can help them doing that, you know. So, I don't know. I think that's...
You know, finally, haters are going to hate.
Yeah.
Right? But no matter what...
Everybody...
You'll find your path. Yeah. And you know, we love you no matter what.
Yeah, but also if you're listening and, you know, anyone who's listening and who's getting criticism, it's like, well, what are you not owning? Is it affecting you personally? Are you taking that in and you're taking that on board really at a sensitive level? If that's the case, you're not owning something that you need to own. Mm. And if you can be clear about what you're getting criticised about, if you can own it, then you just don't see it as criticism.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Out. Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.